NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Monday morning, April 22nd, 2024. It is the Beating the Book podcast, NFL Draft. For 2024, it's Gil Alexander. This is always one of my favorites during the year and has been, with the exception of last year, among our most consistently profitable. In fact, we always had a profitable NFL draft until last year. Still looking for where I can cash my C.J. Stroud, going to get pick number one tickets. All three at plus money prices. Somewhere, I'm sure it's available. Today on the show, something old, something new that has done NFL drafts with us before is Drew Dinsick. You know him, Whale Capper on Twitter, Whale underscore Capper, of course, co-host of the Deep Dive podcast with Andy Molitor and NBC Sports Bet the Edge, which he does with Jay Croucher. Drew, thank you for being here, as always.
Oh, it's an honor and a privilege. The Megapod Draft Edition. We haven't talked football in so long. This is going to be super fun.
Super fun. And new to the show, new to the pod, just had him on a numbers game last week. We've had him in previous years on the radio side, but never on the podcast side. You know him from Twitter as Vegas Refund. It's Luke Swain. How you doing, Luke? Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited for this.
Yeah.
Draft is coming.
And you too, right? Let's just start there. We were going through your NBA draft and your NFL draft profits over the last 3 years. It's all plus money except for last year's NFL draft, right?
Yes, and last year's NFL draft was chaos, and here we are. I feel like the last year's NFL draft was kind of the reset we needed because we have 2x, maybe 3x, the amount of markets this year compared to last, and I'm willing to throw that one in the bag if it means that we're back to norm.
Okay. Well, let me just start with, and we were deciding where do we go with this, because obviously some numbers are gone, some are still available. But let me, I guess, Drew, what you said off air, I want to start with that. You feel like this is a little different of a draft for you than others.
Yeah, I mean, the last two drafts ago was probably uniquely awesome. That was the one where Trayvon Walker went first, and you know, a couple weeks before the draft, he was like sitting there at 33-1. You had some real deal, like good info buzz that was coming from teams. And then last year, that was, I think, also the case. I mean, it definitely was pretty telegraphed that Bryce Young was going to go one by the day of the draft. There was huge disagreement about what the Texans were going to do, obviously, with the, you know, pick number two. And ultimately, I'm still not sure I know the true full story of exactly how they landed on CJ Stroud at number two. It gave them the opportunity to kind of box out the Titans, who were going to trade up to three for Stroud. And then they traded up to three because they had the best offer and they get Will Anderson as well. And the rest is history as far as kind of putting two foundational pieces, offensive, defense, to build your franchise. So it's, you know, that was an interesting draft, and just sort of the fact that things unfolded so late for them getting those second and third picks really kind of did change the entire fabric. And so that was unpredictable. It was fun. It was interesting. I lost a decent chunk on that particular outcome. Although Anthony Richardson going fourth was a huge makeup for me, because I had a lot of under, I think it was 4.5 or 5.5 for Richardson. And that was a huge relief. But last year there was just, it felt like a lot of noise maybe, but just lots of speculation, lots of people people had like information and opinions. And this year it feels very much the opposite. I think everything we've gotten to this point in this draft cycle, as far as the information goes, has been coming from agents. It's been coming from, you know, player rep camps, publicists, things like that. And, you know, if you put sort of the people who are in the NFL space, like the Schefters of the world, like I kind of assume he gets almost all of his information from agents and PR people. And so you're only getting half the story, just what is their vibe? How do they think teams are evaluating them? Where do they likely think they are going to go? And very, very, very little is coming from the NFL side of things. And if, you know, this cycle comes and goes and there's like a fourth page sports section story on like Sunday, that's like, yeah, so the NFL had like sent a memo out to all the teams, and
I was just gonna say
double down on how important it was not to leak information. Like if that kind of comes to light after the draft, I'll be, oh, okay, now this all makes a lot more sense, because outside of a couple of kind of the usual suspects, the Pittsburgh Steelers of the world, the Colts of the world, where they're kind of telegraphing where they're going positionally, like there is just lots of speculation based on team need only, based on, you know, agents trying to rep their players. And that stuff is notoriously poor information to bet on, in my opinion.
Well, so you brought it there before I could get to it, because to me, the takeaway is this by design by the league with the, you know, not only the advent of gambling becoming legalized in 2018, but now like the NFL finally, you know, these many years later getting, oh, people bet on this stuff. Them doubling down on this, it does sort of, you know, tip us off to that is a possibility, that maybe it is by design, where the NFL is saying, listen, let's tamp down on this, let's not come out and say stuff. And if that's the case, if we believe that, then is this going to be the case with drafts moving forward as well? I'm not sure how you feel about it, Luke.
Yeah, I think last year was a great learning experience, where I don't know if it's just gambling becoming more mainstream, but it does feel like the leaks in the past were kind of like the lower level, like coaches or scouts, et cetera, where I don't think those lower level leaks in the past are getting the same information that they might have in the past, probably based off of it. And honestly, like, I feel more confident this year with less like smoke out there.
I like it.
Last year, this one feels like almost like an NBA draft, where we kind of just like know who's going to go in the top 10 or maybe even the top 32. And just figuring out that order is, of course, the hardest part, but there's way less like landmines, in my opinion, that can like jump in and create chaos that would cause a domino effect than years past. And I don't know if that's just because we have less info or there's less intel out there, et cetera, or what, but it feels a lot different than last year, which is probably a good thing.
Okay. Well, let's start there then. So we know Caleb, we all are convinced Caleb Williams is going number one to the Chicago Bears. We all agree on that. Okay. After that, and I think if I'm proud of myself for one thing in this draft, because I have a bunch of bets, but there was a couple markets that I didn't expect to enter at all. And one of them was who's going to get picked second. And I am a Washington Commodores fan by birth. And I was convinced all along they would take Jaden Daniels. And then we saw this weird movement last week, at the end of last week, where the money went away from Jaden Daniels. The price crashed. I think it got as low as minus 150 or minus 110 even. Friday morning, I did a numbers game, and I did the whole first segment on this. And I bet Jaden Daniels at minus 125, not at its bottom. But I was like, well, I wasn't going to bet this at all. But now you guys have forced me to bet this, right? So I sort of let the draft come to me there. Are you as convinced as I am, and I'll give my reasons in a minute, but are you guys as convinced as I am that Jaden Daniels is going number two to Washington?
I don't have any skin on this one. Because kind of to Luke's point, like, number one, the liquidity was always a little poor in this market. It was the only market up offshore for weeks and weeks and weeks, but it was tilted pretty heavily. Jaden Daniels, he was in the minus 300 range. When there was a price crash and people were kind of getting in at rock bottom prices on him, it was only legal shops. It wasn't offshore that I could tell you. And so, yeah, it was, whatever order two and three go, as long as they're two quarterbacks, it doesn't really change my outcome whatsoever here. And I don't know. I think a lot of it was just speculation, again, coming from his agent and his team, because they were, you know, kind of rankled that uh, the uh, the Commodores, as you put it, were flirting with other quarterbacks instead of just kind of making it clear that they had their guy. And number two was very clearly Jaden Daniels, and his team is a little, just a little rankled. I don't really care how it goes from a betting standpoint.
Well, I do now, because again, I entered it when I wasn't going to, but it's my thinking was simply this, and you're right. It was because the taco holders, if you look at their logo, just like a taco holder at a taco, the taco shop, they are, they brought in all four guys, not Nick's, not Caleb, but the other four quarterbacks, prospective quarterbacks in the first round, brought them in all together, and then Jaden Daniels' agent liked a couple tweets that were critical of that, including one from Mike Florio. Also, Jaden Daniels apparently met with the Vikings, so that crashed the number. My thinking was this: Adam Peters, this is more of a human thing than a football thing. Adam Peters, while being the GM, for a first-time GM, and while working for a new owner, supposedly has carte blanche there in Washington to do whatever he wants to do. But he's also a human being. And in the end, I think the human element of you are motivated more by, just as much, if not more, by fear as you are by just being singularly in a vacuum for success. In other words, if you draft Drake May and it fails, the repercussions of that are going to be far greater than if you draft Jaden Daniels and it fails. And I think ultimately that's really my biggest point of it. There's football ones too, which is if you believe Jaden Daniels is going to be good quicker than Drake May, they're actually set up kind of nicely at wide out and at running back, and they have 36 and 40. They could trade up and get an offensive lineman. So there's also that, but I just think it's the human thing for me where it's like, nah, I better kind of go with the safer in quotes of the two, because who knows, relatively speaking, how safe. None of us know really what any of these guys will be in the end. And then he doesn't have history with this team. I get that as well. But he also has to be well aware of the muscle memory of the franchise itself and the fan base, which is we just drafted a UNC quarterback 2 years ago. That didn't work out so well. And the last time they had a number two pick and they drafted a quarterback, RG3 was great until the injury. So I just think you put all that in the mix. I just think it's Jaden Daniels. Luke, what happens at 2 and 3?
I mean, right now, like, I'm definitely leaning Jaden 2, Drake 3. And every year it feels like odds are just flipping on his face by the hour, where we are just stuck in a loop. And Drake May has kind of felt like the CJ Stroud of last year, where he was the consensus for so long. And then everyone was kind of like beating him down, where you might even see him fall to like the 8 range, which would be crazy. And then, of course, he kind of like the levels off and he goes back to where he's been projected this whole time. And really, like, the reasons behind like Jaden not going to right now are just like between like the agent on Twitter or like the poor meetings with Washington. And if we don't think anyone knows anything, like, those are the type of stories that are just BS to me, that like, how can you buy that? So like, I have no reason not to think it's Jaden at 2, but like Drew said, like, as long as these two go 2 and 3, like, the rest will pan out how we're projecting. There's not a lot of chaos like a Will Levis falling to the second round and everything is crazy after that. But I would say Jaden 2 right now, but it doesn't take much for me to flip my opinion to Drake. There are connections. Like, I think like Drake May's dad played for like someone on the staff in Washington. I saw it yesterday. Like, there's just narratives everywhere. Yeah. No one has anything better to talk about right now.
So I asked this question of everybody who I talk draft with, and I probably asked it of you two when you're on the radio side, which is, what do you think you absolutely know for sure in the first round, and where do you believe the chaos might begin? Let's start with the first, which is, what do you think you know for sure, Luke?
So I know what I think I know for sure is 4 quarterbacks and 3 receivers will go in the top 10. And then in terms of chaos, I think the real chaos are 2 scenarios. One, if JJ doesn't go top 5, which I still think he'll go top 10. If he doesn't go top 5, that's one chaos scenario, which would be like the Vikings not trading in. And the second one would be at the Bears at 9, where I think there's a scenario, a very likely scenario, where the Jets trade into 8 and maybe just like trade spots with the Falcons, which would only cost a 3rd rounder. And Adunze goes before the Bears. What the Bears do at 9 is a chaos scenario that I don't think really anyone knows. And everyone kind of just really bows out to the question of what will happen and just says they want to trade down, like, which trading down is a lot harder than I think. It's way harder than just saying it and hedging whatever analysis you have. But four quarterbacks, three receivers, one offensive line. So that's eight. I think there's eight guys locked into the top 10. And the chaos is nine if Adunze doesn't fall.
Okay, so not before that, because it's interesting, because I had someone on air today, Mike Somich, who thought the chaos begins at three. So that's interesting. Drew, same question. What do you know for sure?
I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to take an offensive lineman. I think the Colts are going to take a wide receiver. I generally agree that that's, you know, the likelihood of the top 10 is pretty fixed. And then, you know, the number of names and players is not that broad. Brock Bowers is kind of interesting at 10, if at all. The chances that they're, you know, if JJ does not go in the top five, then things do get interesting. And I guess I have a theory that I'd like to float. This is entirely, this is not informed by information. And maybe it's important to qualify a lot of this because, you know, people will listen to this and assume that, you know, maybe we're hiding the fact that I actually know something. But I honestly, this is just pure speculation. When the Vikings made the move to get a second first rounder, this was now a long time ago. And it, in the moment, you did the math and you were like, oh my gosh, that's enough capital now with those first round picks in next year's one to move up to three. Like they could, you know, they're going for it. Like they're setting up the, you know, the chess pieces in order to make this move to go get a quarterback. Like you could see it all happening. And I agreed, like, yes, that's clearly like, that's what was telegraphed. But it also had a secondary, you know, a secondary effect, which is anyone else kind of in their range who might be interested in trading up for a quarterback. Now you can't beat Minnesota's offer. Right. And so to a degree, it's like, well, you know, if you're the Raiders, if you're, you know, the Broncos, you're like, well, we're not beating that. So we might as well just, you know, kind of just figure out what we're going to do here, as opposed to really kind of entertain an idea of a trade up. And so it had an effect of effectively screening out anyone else who was in the market for QB4. Now they're just, you know, we'll just sit here and see who's available. And so ultimately, if they don't have to make that trade and they get the guy they want at 11, that would be a pretty like kind of masterful, you know, kind of way to manipulate the process. And ultimately, if, you know, somebody like the Broncos says, okay, fine, you know, we'll give you all of our picks and all in all future rounds, blah, blah, blah. We want to come up. The Vikings still do have, you know, the assets this year that are more appealing to teams like the Chargers and the Cardinals and even maybe even the Patriots. And so just the fact that they have two firsts this year is enough, I think, to trump basically any other offer that comes to fruition. And if ultimately, you know, the fact that the teams that are interested in quarterbacks are AFC West teams, and, you know, and they're like, okay, well, you know, we'll just let this one go then. I think maybe there, you know, there's a non-zero chance that McCarthy just falls much later. And the Vikings get him after all without giving as much capital up. And I think that actually makes the most sense considering where talent evaluators have McCarthy anyway.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
the big quarterback prop that everybody leans on is the over-under 4.5, much like with my Jaden Daniels number 2, which I had no intention of getting involved in until the market moved. I had no intention of getting involved in the 4.5 until the over got steamed north of $3. And I didn't get it at its peak, but I got the under at 4.5. I ended up at plus 160. Some people got north of $2 for the under. Are we convinced, because I'm not, obviously, by that bet, that beyond Caleb, Jaden, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy, that either Bo Nix or Michael Penix are absolutely going to be drafted in the first round? Are we convinced of that?
I think
we can toss Bo Nix, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I would agree. I think if of the two, I would probably say Penix is a better shot. We are stuck in a loop. It's the same debate every single year. I do think the need for the Broncos and Raiders is a lot higher than in years past, or like the Broncos are rolling out. Who are they? Like Jared Stidham?
Jared Stidham, yeah.
I think the needs compared to years past are a lot stronger, that they're a lot more desperate to maybe take a guy like Nix or Penix at 12 and 13. No shot. Like, I don't think, like, it would be crazy. Maybe the 20s trading in, but at the same time, like, I have a lot more interest in like the under 6.5 trades than I do under quarterbacks, which still plus money, but you couldn't pay me to bet the over.
Couldn't pay you to bet the over on quarterbacks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe this is a good, but by the way, I apologize for the music. We do the show here at the D and Bar Canada, so we're not in a studio, and so sometimes they get the audio wrong, and so a little Super Tramp, Breakfast in America, for those of you who may who may know such things, if I could put on my old DJ hat again, so we're working on that. This is a good point, before we get to some other points, this is a good point to say what we have bet already. Luke, let's start with you, because it'll just give a sense of what you're thinking on some other things.
I don't think we have enough time in this show to go over what I've bet already.
Well, how about the biggest ones, the ones that you like the best and that you wanted to throw out?
So under 6.5 trades is one that, like, I kind of just bet it every year, and it does feel like you bet the under quarterbacks because you're stuck in a loop, and it's the hype of the quarterback we see every single year, and it's the same thing with the trades, and we see everyone speaking to trades. Every team wants to trade down. You have teams that want to trade up. Every single year, it doesn't live up to the hype. And this opened at 5.5. It's up to 6.5. It's even money on the under. And I think that is
wow,
a great bet, because, I mean, there's nothing to go off of. Like, we don't know, like, anything. But at the same time, like, every team has X amount of players graded on their boards as first rounders. And things that I'm reading are, those first round grades is in the range of like 20 to 22 is like the estimate that teams probably have, which to me feels low, which isn't enough players to create 6.5 trades.
Yeah, that's
teams
a lot.
Are just going to trade up.
Yeah.
6.5 trades is high to me.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just one. Usually it's like 4.5, 5.5. Maybe the JJ McCarthy like assumed trade is just adding one spot, and it's really 5.5 in the end, but like, I would only bet this under. The over is only plus 130, and the under is even money, which draft odds like aren't real. But yeah, I like this under. I think the Broncos' positional defensive line is great. The long shot that I like a lot that I bet is Latu. Man, I butcher every name, but I'm pretty sold on him going to the Falcons. And at 8, his odds are like plus 150, and they were like 7-1 at one point.
He's the short shot now.
Right. I think it's coming down. I'm very sold on it. I don't think his medicals are an issue, but I think betting into scenarios that the Falcons trade back, even though I just like bet the under on trades. I think the Falcons and Jets is a no brainer trade for me, where the Jets jump the Bears to get a Dunze, and the Falcons flip with them and take Latu at 10, which we're talking like 20-1 now. So everyone's been betting, assuming they're going to take Latu at 8. But in the scenario, which would only cost our third round pick, the Falcons taking Latu at 10 at 20-1 I think is a great bet in a scenario that, honestly, I think my issue is, like, it makes almost too much sense that the Jets are just going to jet and they won't do it. But, like, you would have to jump the Bears to get Odunze. The Jets want Odunze. Pretty sure they're, like, number one on their board. Costs basically nothing. And Douglas would be trading a pick that he might not even be able to use himself if he doesn't, because he'll be out if they don't win. So,
just to clarify, that's that bet is Latu to go 10th is 20-1.
Correct.
Has nothing to do with the Falcons, but that's your scenario where he ends up at 10.
Yeah. So instead of getting him at, like, even odds now to go 8, that's a likely scenario, I think.
Gotcha. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, so people are going to be looking for that and they'll be like, what are you talking about? No, it's just so Latu to go 10th would be 20-1. All right, Drew, what do you like best that you've bet?
Well, I think Luke pointed out actually one of the better numbers on the board, which is the trades under 6.5. I'm shocked that that's where that number is currently hanging. And this is, of course, I'm assuming that the fine print is this is draft day trades. So the fact that the Vikings have already kind of made a trade to procure that first rounder is not included in the count. But the that I don't think that's going to sniff 7. So that under is awesome. In terms of other kind of positional bets that I have in pocket, and I guess actually let's talk about sort of macro. This draft is very, very offensive rich. But I do think that kind of there has been a general cooling on the wide receiver pool available this year, to where the likelihood of 7 wide receivers going around 1, I think, is low. And I think the offensive lineman, though, 9 or 10 as sort of a baseline expectation is totally fair. Quarterbacks at least 4, and then then 1 tight end and 0 running backs. I think we're kind of in the mix where when they originally opened, positional totals and offense and defense were hanging in like the 18.5, 19.5 range. Like, that was a no-brainer over for the offensive players. And then ultimately, once some of the larger pools opened up and they were up to 21.5, like, it was pretty obviously a good opportunity to come back on the under for offensive players. I think the sweet spot and what would make me the happiest on draft day would be 21 offensive players, 11 defensive players, because that would thread a beautiful needle. And I think to do that, you really have to kind of zero in on the wide receiver pool, because again, like, Brian Thomas, who is the 4th expected off the board, is kind of slipping because of some health issues. Mitchell is slipping because of, all kinds of, reports about just his, character. And then, you're making a little bit of a reach if you're taking Worthy in round 1, just based on speed and not production. And I think all the rest of the guys were borderline round 1 anyway, like McConkey and Leggett. So, I think if there's one bridge jumper that I'm going to have a lot of in my pocket on Thursday, it's going to be under 6.5 wide receivers in round 1. I honestly think you could see 4 or 5. Which would be, just a beautiful no sweat. It would be, I would be so happy, but we'll see ultimately.
With you.
Yeah.
I will be on that page with you as well.
If the Chiefs take wide receiver number 7 at pick 32, it's going to be a sad state of affairs. The question is, okay, well, if the market thinks 7 is possible, but you're saying it's more like 5 or 6 at most, where do the other picks go? Well, offensive linemen, surely. So many teams in the back half of the draft have needs at offensive line, and there are blue chip round 1 talent all across the board. The guys that I've bet unders on kind of in that range include Grant Barton, who I think has a very clear home in Pittsburgh at 20. And I think the fellow out of Arizona, Jordan Morgan, I've heard a lot of positive things from teams who are kind of in the late half of the first round in terms of his fit and his versatility and seemingly a huge positive character guy. So I have under on Morgan at 32.5. I think he goes in day 1. I have under on Graham Barton at 23.5, 21.5, and 20.5, because I think his floor is 20. I think ultimately, the other part of the vacuum and the long shot that I'm taking swings on. And again, like, I like Luke's approach better. If you have pools where you can find 20-1 on random stuff, like Latu landing 10, like, that type of, swinging for the fences is more my style betting the draft, but I don't have access to those pools. So in terms of long shots, all I bet is, over 5.5 cornerbacks, because I think ultimately, like, there are a lot of team needs with cornerback in the late half of the first round. And I think, you know, there's five likely, and a sixth being either Rake Straw or let me see who else has kind of had some buzz, really, but mostly
Saints Drill. Give me Saints Drill.
Yeah. Saints Drill and Rake Straw kind of being on the cusp of round one. Yeah, one or both of those guys landing on the Chiefs with pick 32 would be just sweet, sweet music. So, let's surprise on the number of cornerbacks. Let's get a little bit of, push up some of these guys who we think are, you know, kind of blue chip offensive linemen like Graham Barton and Jordan Morgan. And then let's have a wide receiver, you know, kind of end in the 5 to 6 range, as opposed to some teams reaching. And I think everybody's going to have a pretty happy draft, at least in my household.
If you ask me, like, one guy that I think no one is talking about, you haven't seen on any mock that could go in the first, it would be Saints Drill, which is the nickel corner out of Michigan. And I would be extremely happy about it. But Barton is my favorite over-under, and it's not even close, betting the under, that I'm on as well.
On Barton?
Yeah, I'm on the under 23.5. It should have opened at 21.5, or at this point, probably 20.5. I think 20.5 is what it probably should be now.
Yeah, I agree.
But there's plenty of 21s, 21.5s out there now.
I'm looking for it right now. Latu, by the way, the position number is under 16.5, minus 135. Just looking at it. Barton, 21.5, under 21.5, minus 145 here at Circa, anyway, where I do this from. By the way, the under 6.5 wide receivers is minus 270, but still sounding like you still view that as value. When this show first started, I was going to ask, the way at least you were talking, Drew, I was going to be like, well, so if I, like, gave you, like, a small profit right now, would you take it? But as this has gone on, it sounds like you wouldn't take it. Like, you expect to still make big time here.
Oh, right where we're sitting right now, if I have a losing draft day, I'll be very surprised.
Okay.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The other thing, I said this morning, I don't know that this point means anything in the scheme of things because we're all just trying to win bets, but it just does occur to me that this point never gets made about the NFL draft. We are trying to hit where every draft room's brains are Thursday night, April 26th. So if we were betting into this, if this was a week before or a week after or 5 days before or 5 days after, 2 days before, 2 days after, the thinking for some of these teams might be completely different, right? So we're just trying to hit a moment in time perfectly. Drew has made an expression. What do you don't like that?
The inexactness of all this is wild. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's just, I don't think that point gets made enough. Luke. Yeah.
And I mean, there, like, betting the draft, like, there is the, it's like, there's an answer to the test. It's not like,
right,
you're betting on a like volatile performance or like someone can get hurt. Like, the answer to the test is out there, and if you figure that answer out, like, unless I guess things change, I guess trades, but there's an answer, and that if you know that answer, it will be right. and really Goodell just has to take the car to the podium and you're good. Josh Allen can't get hurt on the first play of the game and your bet's done. Figuring out that answer, which is getting harder, but there is an outcome that is written in pen somewhere. And I think that is the biggest difference. Like minus infinity is a good bet in the draft compared to minus infinity isn't a good bet anywhere else.
Here are the bets that I've made in addition to the ones I already mentioned, because I want to make fun of myself, because I have ones that I expect to win, and then I have a couple that I took flyers on. I mentioned Jaden Daniels' second pick, minus 125. Total quarterbacks under 4.5 round one, I got a plus 160. Those came to me. I wasn't going to involve myself, but the way that the money moved, I bet into those. I also have position of the Jaguars' first selection as a cornerback. I got that at even money. Every mock had a corner. Obviously, they have more needs than that, too. But I went with corner at even money. Dallas Turner, which looked to be like it was going to be a lock at under 9.5. Now I'm not so sure about. That I got at plus money, plus 115, when it looked like Atlanta might take Dallas Turner if they stayed at 8. Here are the ones where I really got nuts on. And this comes from one is intel, one is not. The one that is not is Jim Harbaugh has repeatedly said he wants to start the foundation of his franchise in L.A. with the Chargers with an offensive lineman. And Joe Alt was plus 450. You can get him at a better number, like plus 475, to go number 5. I took Harbaugh at his word. And I know Alt is slated to be drafted 7th by most for the Titans at 7 if all remains where they are, every team remains where they are. But I took a flyer at plus 450 on Alt at number 5. I don't know if they stare him in the face and don't draft him. And then the other one is by Intel. Our buddy Chris Felica mentioned that he has heard that the Giants actually really like Roma Dunze more than they do Malik Nabers. So I took a Dunze at plus 325 at 6. He's about plus 250. So I'm kind of all over the place. It gets back to, though, I'm curious where we think. Like, let me go with the scenario we brought up this morning. Mike Somich, you brought it up this morning. So Caleb goes first. Jaden Daniels goes second. And then the New England Patriots decide, you know what? We don't really like Drake May. And here's Marvin Harrison, the best player of any position, staring us in the face. C.J. Stroud, his old teammate, by the way, is on record as saying, if Marvin Harrison Jr. is staring you in the face, don't be dumb, was the quote. Draft him. What if the Patriots did that? What kind of chaos does this set the draft into?
Well, I mean, they would no longer have the 32nd best wide receiver room in football.
That's for sure. Yes. But I guess what I'm getting at is, would this then make everybody who wanted Drake May go crazy trying to trade up? Would it then actually mean that J.J. McCarthy would go much, much later? Like, right, the repercussions, all it takes is for one of these things to happen,
yeah.
Right?
J.J. falling would be the biggest domino, because, like, I'm convinced that Drake May is the Vikings guy that they want the most. If Drake May all of a sudden falls to 4, I think the Vikings are going to throw everything to get there to get him. And then it's really difficult to, and then you can basically just put it J.J. McCarthy, maybe 12 or 13.
What Drew was
maybe
saying.
8.
Yeah.
If either of those teams, I think, would probably trade with the Falcons. Because Falcons are going to get the same guy at 8 that they can get from 10 to 13. But yeah, like, I think the Vikings would throw everything to get Drake May, and then JJ would probably fall, because
yeah,
there's no reason to trade into 4 or 5 anymore.
Yeah, it sounds like the Cardinals are then no longer in the trade business at 4. They just take Nabers if Harrison goes through.
Yeah.
Sure. The Vikings trade up to 5 with the Chargers because the Chargers seem the most inclined to trade down out of those guys. And then, yep, Drake May goes 5 to the Vikings. And then 6 is Roma Dunze to the Giants, presumably, because I don't think the Giants really are in the quarterback market. I think they're very much in the wide receiver market. And so they take the 3rd blue chip wide receiver. So that hurts the Bears. Bears are now no longer looking at wide receiver. They probably take an edge. The Jets are no longer looking at wide receiver. They probably just take Bowers. Chargers take a tackle. Titans take a tackle. Or the Chargers will take a tackle right. down at 11. Titans will take a tackle at 7. Yeah. Yeah.
But the thing about that scenario is that scenario being so crazy, like the same 10 guys are probably going to go in the top 10, even if wild scenario happens.
Just shuffles it,
which is the biggest difference this year compared to last is this. We pretty much, which is why it's kind of like an NBA draft, like assuming the same 10 guys are going to go.
Yeah.
But then Adunze, I think that drags Adunze up. If like Neighbors goes 4, then Adunze is going way earlier.
Let me go to some of these notes that you sent before the show, Luke, which I think is great, because one of the things about this coming out the Monday before the draft is a lot of numbers are going to be gone, but there's a lot of things that are still very bettable. You put this note in, top 3 to 3-5 exactas.
Yeah, so those are those are the fun bets where like scenarios we just went over are going to be crazy, and with such an uncertainty right now on 2 and 3, because like truly like we don't know. Some of these are still fun, and really like if you ask me right now, it's probably I would say the chalk, the Caleb, Jaden, Drake, Marvin, JJ. But you still need a trade for that to happen. And like relying on trades for bets is like my least favorite thing to do.
Me too.
Which creates the opportunity of the exactas of like if that trade doesn't happen or like Marvin goes 3 or whatever, like you're looking at some absolute bangers. I gotta pull them up.
But, yeah, here I'm looking at it right now. Williams, like if Harrison goes 3, your top 4 is Williams, likely Daniels, Harrison, Neighbors. And that's 100 to 1.
Exactly.
That's a big number.
It's like telling someone, I'll never be against 100 to 1 bet. Like you don't want to be that guy that says no and then it hits. And
where are you saying that, Drew? Where's that exact available?
DraftKings under the top 4 exact order. You have to scroll well down.
Yes. Yes, you do. But you're right, Luke. Like flyers like that, why not? Right? At 100 to 1? My God.
And these are what saved me last year. Like with everything of the chaos, like these long shots are how I came out in the green. And I have a lot less long shots this year right now than I do last year. And that's kind of just where we are with this draft right now. But I would never be opposed to the exactas. And I think FanDuel has top all the way up to top 5. And as we get closer, like I bet we'll start getting even more. I remember it was like top 7. I would think it was the longest last year. 3 years ago, you could bet every single pick in the first round, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
But
till Twitter gave the answer before it happened. So just to clarify that, of those exactas, what is the chaos scenario long shot that you like? Williams going 3rd to pollute it? In those long shot exactas, like what's the thing where it changes? What makes it such a long shot? Is it Williams going 3rd?
You mean Harrison?
Harrison. What am I saying? Williams. Pardon me. Harrison going 3rd.
Yeah, probably. Right. Yeah. I mean, like that's like because I mean, if we step outside of what's going to happen, talk just about the Patriots right now. Like, do we think that if they draft Drake May, that he's going to succeed? In the first couple of years with the talent on this roster, probably not.
Hell no.
So the Patriots are probably going to have a high pick again next year. I don't know that there really ought to be a premium for them to take a quarterback. So if they take a generational wide receiver, so be it. I don't think that's necessarily bad team building. If that happens to me, pretty likely, like it's a high degree of correlation that if Harrison goes 3, Neighbors goes 4.
Yeah, I think top 5 is where I'm looking for the chaos. Top 4, it's tough. We're like FanDuel has top 5, and like you spoke to earlier about Joe Alt going 5.
Yep.
Right now, Caleb, Jaden, Drake, JJ, Joe Alt is 40 to 1.
Oh, I would think it would be longer than that. That's all it was? Wow.
Caleb, Jaden, Drake, JJ. That's top 4, and then Joe Alt is 40 to 1.
Okay, so not as chaotic as I thought. Okay, wow. But that if you do think there's correlation between Harrison going 3 and Malik Neighbors going 4, that's probably the core of the bet you should make there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I should kind of explain why I think that's so highly correlated is I think it's pretty clear that the Cardinals are, you know, they're flirting with trading down. And then, but you know, they don't want to go so far down that they miss out on neighbors. And I think the reason is from a fit and from a talent evaluation, it sounds like they don't have a huge separation between neighbors and Harrison. And if one of those guys is gone, then the other guy they're taking, right?
Boy, when Nevada gets legalized sports betting, guys, and we can bet these things here, man, is this going to be awesome? It's going to be great. Oh, wait, is what just... we do? Oh. What are you saying, Luke?
Is it just these types of bets? Because for what I thought you guys had over unders out there.
We have over unders on players. Yes.
Circa, yeah. Okay. They did some good old fashioned price discovery this year, which was cool.
They did. They put it out a week earlier than they did last year because they were only available. Circa only jumped in the last 2 or 3 days last year, but they gave us a full week in 2 or 3 days this time. Stations deserves a shout. They were the first to do it here. They are every year, always Stations. All right, there's a couple other things here that are pretty interesting to me. We already talked about the Jets and the Falcons, your Latu swap. How about this one? Peak group think consensus in top 10. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so we've kind of been talking to it this entire time, but like this draft right now, it is, I can't remember a time that there has been such a consensus on the top 10 right now.
Oh, was that you who tweeted out the percentages?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was me.
Yeah.
Where every single picks 1 through 10 and out of like the 40 mock drafts I track, each guy has like 65% or higher, which is way above anything
crazy
I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And that one domino can just throw this entire thing off technically. Like scenarios that Albert Breer has brought up is like 3 offensive linemen going in the first round. That would be crazy, which to me, that would happen if Chargers stay at 5 and take Alt, maybe Latham. But I don't know if it's more of a consensus compared to just a mock drafts or such a copycat thing where it's just everyone is copycatting ourselves. And Jeremiah, I spoke to him he is the best. He's the closest thing we have to what teams are thinking. And he's had Drake May at 2 this entire process. And I'm very interested to see if he switches in his final mock draft. Because if he does, that is a huge signal to me that it is Jaden, because he's been on Drake May the entire process. But you can start to see, like Latu, you're seeing a lot of to the Falcons at 8 from guys that you trust a lot that are starting to switch. But it is the highest consensus I've ever seen in any draft in a top 10.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Yeah. You're right.
Maybe top 8, right? Or 8 or 9.
Yeah. And when you were on a numbers game on VSiN, you were talking about how Daniel Jeremiah had his presser last week. And I guess it's Daniel's way of not having to do all of these individual interviews. So now he holds court and people can jump on and hear what he has to say. And you were saying one of the nuggets was, again, a prop that we don't, you know, it's like science fiction to us here in Nevada. Second tight end drafted. You might as well have said, who's the 7th punter drafted, right? Like, it just, you know. And you were saying it was McLaughlin at Arizona might go number 2. That was a big nugget. It got bet down tremendously. That was just one of the nuggets from this thing. Do you still buy into that happening? Or, I mean, certainly not at the price now. You wouldn't bet it, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, at the time it was 100-1 and now it's down to 10-1, which was a great nugget. And like I said, he's the closest thing that we have to teams, and maybe one team has him too. And the tight end class is so weak that you can probably make an argument for any of them outside of Bowers who go 2nd, which would be like the 3rd or 4th round. But I would not bet McLaughlin at 10-1 at these odds. It's just a great example of fake odds.
Yeah,
it's a draft.
Do you think? Do you think Bowers goes 10 to the Jets?
I'm of the opinion that he doesn't. I think it's either them trading over the Bears to get Adunze or taking Fatano at 10, which is the offensive lineman out of Washington. But there are some guys. One specific beat reporter for the Cardinals, names like Mike Jarecki, who's probably, he's extremely accurate on his tips. He is walterfootball.com keeps track of tips on a year-to-year basis, like as a win-loss record for every single guy.
Wow.
Like Matt Miller's 3-21 over the last 3 years.
Is that good? I'm told that's not good.
It's not great. Yeah. But Jarecki's 14-0. So he hasn't been wrong on any tips. And
wow.
Last night he tweeted out Bowers to the Jets. He had a picture of Bowers and Gronkowski together. And says that guy on the left is a future Jet, which to me means a lot, but I'm still sticking to my guns. Every time I bet the Bowers over 11.5, someone comes back and bets the under. Love to know who that guy is. Please hit me up if it's you. But it just doesn't make sense to me. If you're going to get an offensive weapon, just trade up for a third-round pick to get a Dunze or take an offensive lineman. But they are the Jets, and the Jets will jet. So
the Jets will jet.
Yeah.
The Jets will jet, only trumped by the Raiders will Raider when it comes to draft.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let me, I don't usually do this. You take a guest notes and run through them, but yours were so great, Luke, that I wanted to actually get through all of them. Exact picks odds based on trade scenarios. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so that this is really the Latu swap with the Jets. So if like the Jets trade up, they could take a Dunze at 8, which a Dunze to go 8 is 6-1. And then we're assuming Falcons take Latu at 10, which is 20-1. And then I think scenarios like the other hotspot is the Eagles trading into 16 for a corner with the Seahawks. I think if the Eagles stay at 22, they take an offensive lineman. They trade up, which the reporters from the Eagles that I trust, Kapinski, who's out of the Philadelphia Inquirer, is pretty strong on them taking a corner and them being the most likely team to trade up, which historically they have been, which would be Eagles to take Terrion Arnold, which we don't have an exact pick, but corner, great odds for the Eagles. And then really like the Falcons trading back is that hot spot. Like whether you, in the Latu is like the guy I'm sold on. And you're not going to get a lot better than 20-1 for him, which he's almost even odds to go to the Falcons at 8 right now.
And then this other one, DK dropped a bunch of matchups. I saw that. It wasn't like too many matchups, right? It was like one page worth.
Yeah, and they're pretty, I'll give him credit. They were pretty good matchups in terms of not any no-brainers, but I don't think Xavier Worthy should be plus 150 to A.D. Mitchell. I'm on the A.D. Mitchell over. I'm actually on the Xavier Worthy over as well. But A.D. Mitchell's a guy I feel like is slipping, and Worthy at plus 150 to him. But really their EDP, which is estimated draft position between the mocks, is so tight right now. And I think there's a lot more scenarios where Worthy can go a lot earlier than Mitchell than there are Mitchell for Worthy. Where Mitchell's like, if he doesn't go 28, he might go 32. But you can see Worthy going 21. I mean, he's one of those speed guys that has a lot more volatility that I think 150 is a great bet. I think Terrion Arnold over Verse is a good bet. Verse doesn't go nine. I can see Verse falling into the 20s. Terrion Arnold, like, his range of outcomes is from pretty much like 12 to 17. And if Verse doesn't go nine, he's in the 20s. I mean, Terrion Arnold, they're basically to pick him between those two. Latu is even money over Murphy. Murphy's like that big name that we're hearing. That I don't know if I want to go against Murphy, but I like Fatano as well for the same reasons I like Arnold. But Fatano, basically a pick 'em against Quinyon Mitchell. Fatano's range is basically 10 to 16. Mitchell, if he doesn't go 15, he might get to the 20s. I guess the Broncos were a hot spot, but they really aren't now. But I like Fatano the same reason as I like Arnold. Like, the range of outcomes is so much tighter, and I have a lot more confidence that you're really betting on like one or two spots to go ahead of these guys with Versa Mitchell.
All right. So what I'm hearing is the ones that you guys like the most, under 6.5 wide receivers, under on Murphy's draft position, Byron Murphy's draft position. Graham Barton's draft position. What else did you have strong conviction on?
I can just read off the over-unders I have.
Please.
Right now.
Yeah.
I have Quinyon Mitchell over 13.5. Jared Verse over 14.5. A lot of these numbers aren't going to be there, but this is what I have. So Quinyon Mitchell over 13.5. Jared Verse over 14.5. J.C. Latham under 14.5. Byron Murphy under 18.5. Graham Barton over 23.5. Chop Robinson under 26.5, A.D. Mitchell over 27.5, Xavier Worthy over 29.5, Tyler Guyton under 29.5, and Ladd McConkey under 35.5, which I definitely will have more. That's four overs and six unders. I usually try to keep the overs and unders even. It's a little bit more difficult this year, but the first thing I learned when betting the drafts years ago is I had too many unders. And a lot of them were in the top 10, and one domino goes off.
Oh, yeah.
It basically comes down to, like, you need to predict the top 10 or top 15 perfect in order to get all those bets right, which is impossible. So you want to have equal overs to unders, where I guess they can kind of be correlated, where if an over hits, the under is coming back, because that means if this guy's not going, the guy you bet the under should be going. But...
Drew,
some of those numbers are still out there. So,
no, thank you for those. Drew, what did I leave out in terms of what you like best?
Well, the Bridge Jumper, which is under 6.5 wide receivers. That is minus 250. I mean, realistically, like, I'm not trying to be glib. I think Fair should be like minus 2,500 for this.
Damn.
I really am struggling. Yeah. I'm really struggling to see how set, because, like, you know, certain guys are sliding. Brian Thomas Jr., A.D. Mitchell, like, these guys are, this is your fourth and fifth wide receiver. Like, if those guys fall down into the end of the first round, where number one, they weren't expected to be there, so teams aren't even necessarily evaluating them. They're looking at offensive linemen. They're looking at cornerbacks. Bill, you only have one clear, obvious team with the Bills as likely to take a wide receiver down there. I'm not seeing any way that the math works out that we're going to get to seven. So if there are seven wide receivers drafted, number one, that'll be par for the course so far for me in 2024. It's been a rough couple of months here. But that said, I'm not seeing this as fair in the minus 250 range at all.
What is the by the way, Drew is very very honest about the tough stretch that he's been in, and that's what we love. That's what we love about you, that you're transparent about this stuff. What is the scenario that happens, or what's the first thing that would happen in this draft that would indicate to you, oh dear God, I'm fucked? Like, what's the first thing that happens?
Okay.
Oh, next goes 12.
What was that?
Bonics.
If, like, 12 and 13 are Bo Nix and Michael Penix.
Oh, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
If we have six quarterbacks before spots, the top in the first half of the draft, I'm in deep, deep trouble.
And then I think, quarterbacks go 12 and 13.
But that's, you know, the quarterback thing is so fascinating. It gets all the headlines, and I know we're deeper into it. But, like, you know, I get it. On the one hand, right, you, no NFL team is anything unless you have a quarterback, right? I'm a Washington fan. I could tell you that for years. You're nothing ultimately without a quarterback. So I get why teams go quarterback crazy come first round of an NFL draft. You want to believe, right? You desperately want to believe that this guy, there's Bo Nix, there's Michael Penix, there's J.J. McCarthy. Mr. Quarterback, you know, Molder, can make this guy into a franchise quarterback. On the other hand, just again, a brief history of quarterback drafts in the NFL. 2020 was the draft that I think everybody is chasing that high. Burrow, Tua, Herbert, Love, and Hurts. My God, right? Like, they're all impact quarterbacks in this league today. But then after that, 2021, Trevor Lawrence was the number one pick in the draft. Okay, jury's still out. Some people think he's going to be great. Some people think not so much. Since then, here are your quarterbacks. 2021, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones. 2022, remember, was the year there was only the one guy in the first round. Kenny Pickett went to Pittsburgh. The other names of quarterbacks drafted in that draft, Ritter, Willis, Corral, Zappe, Howell, Oladokun, Skylar Thompson, Purdy saves the draft with the last pick. 2023, I mean, guys, this is just last year, right? Last year. Bryce Young goes first. We did get Stroud, and then we got Richardson. Jury's going to be decided on Richardson still. Then since then, after that, Levis, Hooker, Hayner, Bennett, O'Connell, Toon, DTR, Clifford, Hall, Tanner McKee, Duggan, and actually two guys who were undrafted, right? Bajent and DeVito got more run than any of those names I just mentioned. So I guess on the one hand, like, I get why these teams go crazy because you're nothing without a quarterback. On the other hand, you look at the batting average, right? And you're just like, God, is it bad?
I mean, next year.
Did you skip the...
Next year is bad. Next year's quarterbacks is, like, all-time bad. So, yeah. And I mean, I'm not thinking... Like, I think Shador Sanders is right now, like, probably the top guy. But I'm of the belief... And Mac Jones is kind of, like, the poster for me on this. But this is your franchise quarterback. You either have a top 4 or 5 pick, or you trade up and get him. You don't hope he falls to you like the Patriots did with Mac Jones, because you truly believe he's the guy if you're just hoping he falls to you when you get past the 10th pick. And if the Vikings don't trade up to 4 and 5, that is also another chaos scenario that could create some oh gods, because every mock that you see right now, everything you're reading is based off of 4 or 5 being the Vikings. And if it's not them, we could have all been wrong this entire time on everything.
Like, shock you, right? Like, you wouldn't be that shocked if we were all wrong about everything, which is the scary part of this, obviously.
This year, I would be shocked, right? Last year, we shouldn't. There was so much smoke and noise, and everything was, nothing was connected. It was all kind of contradictory. So it was a very uncomfortable feeling heading into the draft. This year feels pretty different. But the quarterback draft, I have a working theory. I haven't completely fleshed this out, so I'll get you guys' take on this. But I get it from a team building standpoint, right? You have enough evidence now that you need a quarterback on a rookie deal to, you know, and you need to be competitive in that player. If you hit on your pick, you need to be competitive in that player's windows years 3, 4, and 5. And I think that's what a lot of franchises are trying to accomplish. And I think with the Texans this year, once you hit that, you know, once you hit your on your guy, then yeah, chips on the table. Like, go get Stephon Diggs. Go get I forget who they traded, who they got in free agency, who is the pass rusher from the Vikings, but Danielle Hunter. Yeah. So, you know, push chips on the table. Like, here we go. This is our shot. And because realistically, you want to be chasing a championship, or you want to be at the top of the draft taking your next shot at a quarterback. Purgatory is like the ultimate, you know, least desirable place to be, which is why it's weird seeing teams like the Falcons just capitulate and pay, you know, a guy like Kirk Cousins to just put them squarely in purgatory, but so be it. And, you know, I think as far as like the batting average for quarterbacks, I think that there is a little bit of a signal in terms of who ultimately succeeds at the NFL level and who doesn't. And I think it's more looking at who doesn't, right? And what happened to those guys in their development arc, right? And if they have a year of arrested development where either their final year, and I'm kind of looking at Caleb Williams when I'm saying this, right? If your final year in college was like a little bit of either a plateau or some regression, like I think that's a red flag. Right. Like, I think that kind of tells you that, you know, the development arc stopped at some point, and that's potentially a problem. And if you come into the NFL and you take over a team like the Bears that have no wide receivers and the worst offensive line rostered in the NFL, like Justin Fields took over, your arrested development year is your rookie year as a quarterback. Right. And so the kind of the success stories to me all have continuity where you were playing your best football as you were leaving college. And you went to an organization that had, you carried your development, you know, to where you could ultimately hit your ceiling, right? And, you know, everyone who has failed of the first round picks that you just rattled off either had an arrested development year in college or they had one in their first couple of years in the NFL. And so I think, you know, if we just look at, you know, if we do a post-draft kind of autopsy and you're like, okay, well, what do you think? Caleb Williams to the Bears? I would say I have reservations. Like, his final year of college was not as good as his junior year. And now he's coming into a situation where, yes, things do look pretty good in terms of there is kind of talent and the cupboard is well stocked, but it's not clear and obvious to me that he's going to just jump right back onto the path he was in terms of, you know, development and progression. And then the same thing would go with somebody like Drake May. Okay, you're putting him on the Patriots. Like, I'm willing to kind of strongly consider that's probably a wasted pick because that talent on that team right now is so poor that him having a rest of development year as his rookie year seems pretty likely. And then, you know, let's assume that J.J. McCarthy goes to the Vikings. If you're like, you know, hey, of these four, you know, Jaden Daniels goes to the Commanders. Okay, of these four guys, you know, who's likely to have the best career? I would probably take the long shot price on J.J. McCarthy because he kind of did start to hit his ceiling late in his college career, winning, you know, particularly in high leverage games at the end, and then carried that right onto a team in the Vikings that have a really good developer in Kevin O'Connell and exceptionally talented roster for, you know, pass catchers, outstanding pass protection. Like, you know, whoever ultimately the Vikings get would be my bet to will be the success story of this draft class.
Yeah, I don't know what the theory is in there other than I agree with everything you said, because this isn't basketball, right, where talent wins no matter where you are, right? Michael Jordan on the Wizards, well, that's a bad example because he ended up playing with the Wizards, but Michael Jordan on any team is going to be great, right? Baseball is a individual sport disguised as a team sport. So if you're a great hitter, you're going to be a great hitter everywhere, same with a great pitcher. Football, as you just displayed, right, there's so many moving parts to the system you end up in and how you fit into that system. There's no way to prove this, but I always use it as saying if Peyton Manning were drafted by Washington, he would not have become the Peyton Manning we know. He's got some pedigree because he's got family. He wouldn't have sucked, but he would never have become the Peyton Manning because he would have had a different coordinator every year and a different coach every year. So I'm with you on all of that. And that's where the cruelty is of the economic system, right? Because then you can only win a Super Bowl if you're a Hall of Famer, if you're a rookie quarterback overperforming on a rookie contract or a guy overperforming on a rookie contract where you pay everybody else and then you win. And that's your window. And then if you don't get it on that window, you're forced to commit nine figures to that player.
Right.
And that player is often, it's never clear, right? It's never clear that they're going to be Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. It's more like they're going to be Dak Prescott or Kirk Cousins or that kind of player where you're like, oh, well, I guess we got to give him nine figures because what's the alternative?
Mm.
So it's just so cruel, right? The whole thing is just what an inexact science when you put it all in the mix.
Yeah, especially if you do hit on a guy like a Josh Allen and you have some very close calls while he's on his rookie contract. And then
that's right.
Ultimately you are doing what the Bills are doing this year where, you know, maybe they get the fifth best wide receiver in this draft as their wide receiver one next year. And that's a disaster.
Yeah, so true. All right. So I just want to wrap this up by saying this. So if people right now, they stop listening to this podcast and they're going out and they're making a bet. Sounds like if they're fine with the -250 on the under 6.5 wide receivers, that's the play. The under on Barton you guys feel really strongly about. Yeah. I feel super strong about Jaden Daniels going number two. It's creeping back up. By the way, it's about minus 155 right now. But my intuition and what I think I know about that franchise is they're going to go Jaden Daniels. Did we leave out any other thing that is a must bet right now?
Trades under 6.5.
Luke. Thank you. Trades under 6.5. That's the one me personally, when I leave this, that's the one I'm looking for to see if we have that anywhere in town. Trades under 6.5, because that is a lot of trades, right? Like, that's not going to happen. Okay. And then everything else we hope for the best on. But
pick some, find some absurd long shots too. I mean, there's you want it to be a fun experience, and I don't know. There's like the bridge jumpers is a rough sweat. I'll be honest, like sitting there and waiting and watching and counting as you're going through the late 30s, where you're like, wait, did I really have any idea what these teams were looking at? Not really. Sweating out the super juicy stuff is a little rough. So just be warned.
Yeah, but I think Luke made a little point in there that I don't want to gloss over, which is with those exactas, which you said saved you last year, I think are like, one, there's that scenario, right? You can sort of bet against what your other conviction is. But that is whenever you have a correlation in there, and Drew, you pointed out that one between Harrison and Neighbors back-to-back, I almost think that that's like if you have that available to you, you almost have to include one or two of those, because that's
yeah. And a lot of the books too offer parlays where you're parlaying round ones, or like on FanDuel you can do first defensive player, first wide receiver parlays, where the parlays are as well just as good bets, where parlaying five or six round oneers that are minus 300 or greater are great bets as well. But yeah, definitely diversify yourself in scenarios, or you could have a really bad night.
Drew, would you like to talk about the parlays that were available off at a distant offshore location that they didn't turn off the button for?
Well, yeah, I mean, off the top, you said, would you take a small profit? Would you guarantee a small profit? And I said, no. Well, so I already know that I'm there as of this moment, because correlated parlays were available for a hot minute. And you could play, a good example was over 10.5 defensive players, under 21.5 offensive players. And if you do the math right, unless there is a special teams player who gets drafted in the first round, or unless somebody, somebody gets a last second penalty from the NFL and they lose their first round pick, and there's only 31 for round one picks, those are perfectly correlated. And so something that you should be betting at minus 130, you're betting at a plus 190. And that's obviously a nice way to start the draft. So appreciate, hap tip to those folks for giving us that chance. And I don't know. Other than that, it's been very lean pickings in the offshore space as far as draft liquidity. And I get it. No one likes to kind of just give it all back for fun. And you're putting your resources as far as running a high, high limit book, you're putting your resources into the NBA, playoffs right now. And I get that. So, it is what it is, but it's been a lean draft year ultimately for me.
By the way, before we go, NBA draft this year, like will there even be any draft props out there for the NBA draft this year? It is considered to be the worst NBA draft in history, they say this year.
I mean, they have an over-under for LeBron's son already. For what it's worth.
Over Bronny. Yeah.
Well, let's also remember, we went, I'm old enough to remember a year Anthony Bennett went first overall. So let's cool our jets until we see these guys play.
That's but, very true. Yeah.
No, I think, no, the, where, what is true surely is this is the worst, crop of, college players. If you hung a college players to be drafted in the top five prop right this minute, it's probably over half, and it's probably juiced to the under, because I think it is the only guy, maybe the Kentucky shooter, who goes in the top five, and even that feels like a reach. So it could be all G leaguers and international folks who fill up your top five of your board. And I think there's a couple of difference makers in there, but ultimately, yeah, probably no franchise changers.
That'll make for a fun night when we don't know any of the players. That's awesome. Sounds great. All right, guys, I really appreciate it. I think we touched on a lot here. May it all go well for us. May it not be last year. Draft is on Thursday night. Got a few days to listen to this. Luke Swain at Vegas Refund. Luke, besides drafts, do you bet the rest of the year, or are you just a draft guy?
Oh, yeah. NFL, college football, it all.
Okay.
All right.
Just making sure that people know. At Vegas Refund. And then Drew Dinsick, of course, at Whale _ Capper. Deep Dive Podcast again with Andy Molitor and NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. Love listening to both, Drew. You do a great job with both of them, man. Drew gets a little friskier on the deep dive, I notice, at times. So there's that.
Yeah, we have a it's the Take Your Tie Off podcast.
Yeah. I like that. Kind of like this one.
Pour yourself an adult beverage type of podcast.
All right, guys, I really appreciate it. Good luck. Good luck to everybody with your picks in the 2024 NFL Draft.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.